Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Albany County Controller Mike Connors. And Mike is here to discuss his future plans. So, Mike, how are you?
Cynthia, I never had it so good. You know that's my favorite saying. I'm excited about the next chapter. Obviously, I'm somewhat sad about leaving such a wonderful job in 15 months and 6 days. But I've had a great run, and I think there's an opportunity to do some new things. I think there's a chance to get somebody really exciting and really qualified to run for controller. So those are all things I'm looking forward to.
So is retirement in your plans?
No. My idea of retirement is to be in a casket going up the stairs at Sacred Heart Church at 9:30 in the morning. That's retirement.
Oh my God.
No, I'll be working.
I may
do something else. There are a lot of options out there, so I'll explore all of them. But my number one focus is doing the job and then finding some suitable, capable people to run in the primary to win the nomination and then win the office.
Mm-hmm.
Want to make sure that we have some really solid folks.
How long have you been controller in Albany County?
22 years, 8 months, and if you throw a whole day in now, 25 days. I actually started the 17th of November, 1995, but I wasn't on the payroll until January 1st.
Okay.
Of 96.
So, but you were in politics before then, weren't you?
I was a county legislator. I ran for a one-year term and was elected in North Albany and then Ann's. And then I was a very independent legislator, so they cut my district into four pieces. And then I ran for a three-year term for another
mm-hmm.
district. And then Mike McEwen, a reporter at that time for the Times Union, called me for a quote. And he said, Mike, Ed Sack is retiring. Are you interested in running? I said, no, Mike, Ed Sack's only 50. He's not retiring. McEwen says, no, he is. I just interviewed him. The story's going out today. So if you want to be in the story, you're in the story. So I threw my hat in the ring back in 1995. Now, this was maybe 5 or 6 months after I got fired as Commissioner of Public Works for having a press conference about bid rigging. But it just shows you that the people of Albany County can read between the lines, and they will support people that tell them the truth. So, I've been very lucky and very blessed. They've been elected and reelected six times.
So what made you decide to say, I'm not going to do county controller anymore? What was the deciding factor?
Well, the deciding factor, the thing that tipped me over the end was we'd been pushing for about 2.5 years to put together a health insurance consortium for the small governments that didn't have the advantage of large buying power like the county has for their health insurance. And because the politics, this whole concept and idea was shunted to the side. And, it's whenever you're the umpire or the referee, nobody likes the referee or the umpire. And you come up with observations for things that should be done, or that if you do them will improve things or improve the outcome. And then those in power don't want to do it. So that was the thing that really pushed it over. My wife has got to work another 3 or 4 years. Anyway, so, we talked about it during the summer, and, we basically both said, look, this makes sense. Why don't you pull the pin? And I did. So because of my inability to keep a secret, I came out early and made sure I didn't
mm-hmm.
spill the beans somewhere. And, Vandenberg's always given me an opportunity to defend myself, so I said I'll do it on his show. So, That's it. Now, the one thing I would have slight observation of correction about from the Times Union coverage is that I am not retiring. I am just not running for reelection. And if people think I'm going to go away quietly, we were in a Donnybrook a couple of days after that over an idea to save money for the local governments. We have people going out to see all the mayors and supervisors of the cities, towns, and villages to show them the great relationship that we have with our bank and how we're, you know, getting a much significantly better ECR rate than, you know, the second largest municipality in the county. So, you know, I'll be around and I'll be active right up until 12:31 at midnight in 2019. So we have a lot of exciting things we're going to continue to push. And, you know, politically what I'll be doing is trying to get as many qualified people as possible to run for comptroller. And if you don't mind me asking the question for you myself, I think that there are four or five things that are critical for someone who wants to be comptroller. They must absolutely be independent of the county executive, and they must be independent of the county legislature. They're the people's watchdog. I think the second thing that you want from a comptroller is you want some kind of competency. You want someone who's been successful, who's a leader. It's great if they've got any kind of financial background or accounting background, but it's not necessarily critical because we have a great staff to do those kinds of things already on hand. The third thing that you're looking for is you're looking for someone who I would say has a great work ethic, but there's a lot of fancy terms for that. But you're looking for somebody who's, you know, realizes this is going to be a hard job. It will take time to get up to speed because it's a very complex job. It's a very complex operation. You know, it's almost a $700 million budget per year. So when they elect the next comptroller, they'll be electing someone who will be overseeing $2.8 billion of your money being spent. The last thing I think that I think is important, but nobody else probably will, you need someone with a high threshold for pain. If you're a shrinking violet or a easily intimidated person, I don't think this is the job for you. I've had battles where I had the state comptroller, member of Congress, United States Senator, the entire legislature, the airport authority, and everybody else pounding me for 42 days on a bond deal that they were going to give some investment banking group, the old Lehman Brothers. Well, you know, we held up and held our ground, and as a result of that, the taxpayer saved $34.8 million on the financing of the first $100-some-odd million of expansion at the airport. Well, since then, every time the airport has a deal come up, they come to us, they look at it, and we try to encourage them to put it out to bid. But you need somebody who's going to be able to take the pounding. It's just like an umpire at a baseball game or a referee at a football or basketball game. You know, neither side cheers for the ump. Nobody's really happy. You want somebody, if you use the baseball analogy, who calls balls and strikes. And if you're my worst enemy and the pitch is outside, low and away, it's ball four, take your base. And if you're my best friend and the pitch is over the plate, strike three, you're out, go sit down. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody to be fair, firm, and consistent. And that's what I've tried to do in my 22-plus years, and it'll be almost 24 years when I'm done.
You know, you talk about a baseball analogy, but you and I both have sat in a chair and had chemo injected into our bodies. It takes a strong person, and I want to include myself in that, to deal
well,
with
you are.
The fact that
you are.
Has to
you, if you think about if God forbid anybody ever finds out about chemotherapy the right way, but you know, if you want to simplify it, chemo is nothing more than rat poison that kills the bad cancerous cells along with the good cells. And you know, I'm very lucky. I had a tremendous wife and children, a great faith. Those things will help me. But there's also hundreds of people who prayed for me, sent me mass cards. You know, I have that habit. You remember me doing this. I give out blessed rosaries or blessed prayer cards. And I'll bet you every one of the 500 people we did that with wound up either having a mass said or coming by or sending a card. And having that kind of support really helps. And you know from your battle, it's the people pulling for you that give you the courage. you know, I sat with four other people and buried three of them, and you wonder, why did they not make it, and why did I? And
right.
I think a lot of it has to do with your faith and your family and the support network. And I was very lucky to have my wife and everybody else, pulling for me. So that was a very interesting experience. And, my guy died. I'll never forget it. Heart sunk. And I started out with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, had some cancerous cells taken out of my neck, had some surgery. And, of course, a year later, I'm rowing. I said, geez, I think I got a torn rotator cuff. So I go get x-rays. Mm-hmm. And it turned out to be a diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. It had metastasized into a form of bone cancer. So I go to see my guy, and he says, well, Mike, we're going to put you in Wednesday. You're going to get a port. Da, 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 da. And he said, whoa, 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 slow down. I said, what if I do nothing? So Art says, Mike, if you do nothing, you'll be dead. He said, Art, we're all going to be dead sooner or later. He says, yeah, but not in 10 months. I said, how about tomorrow, Dr. Sunken? So, you know, I had great, great people helping me. Art was a great oncologist. He won my wife's heart over when he finished the first visit with us. He told my wife, look, he said, I'm not going to be a bad guy about this, but he used a vernacular term that I can't use on the radio. And he said, go get second opinions, you know, do that. And, of course, we went to Dana-Farber over in Boston, and the folks over there said, yeah, we agree with what your guy's saying. And we'd do the same thing. We'd give you the same mix of chemo here, the same radiation here. You can do it here or over where I had it done, in St. Mary's and Samaritan in Troy. And people said, geez, why'd you go there? Well, I could get from my office to Samaritan, park my car, go in, get my radiation, get back in the car, be back in the office in about 40 minutes. It took that long to park my car and walk in to the parking lot at St. Pete's. So Samaritan's part of the same Trinity Healthcare, so you're getting the same exact drugs and same high-quality people. It was just more convenient to go there. So, yeah, I think that the cancer certainly was something that was frightening for everybody around you. But, I've been very, very lucky the last 3 years. And, you know, I think I have a lot of good years left in front of me. I think I have a good, solid 10 years to work. I think I can be productive in either profit world, where I spent 25 years as an insurance agent. I was lucky enough and blessed enough to be professional agent of the year for the nation. I got the opportunity to be chairman of the board of the Center for Disability Services for a couple of years. So I've had some great opportunities in the private sector. I loved my government service, and I've already had people approach me about coming to work for them as a consultant. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities that will open up. One other thing is that part of my job, in addition to doing the accounting and the auditing, is I do the borrowing. And I like to tell people I've paid back $1.4 billion in borrowed money. And there's only about 300,000 or 300 million outstanding, and that'll get paid back. And I've made sure that the terms of the deals that we've done were negotiated, very tough deals, and we bid everything out. I think in all the deals I've done, I only did one negotiated deal, and that was for a tax credit deal that was so complicated, you couldn't bid it. So, we've had people talk to us about doing something about investment banking or borrowing. Hey, guys, or borrowing for people. I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunities for me. Well, hell, the county executive even offered me a job. So Danny thought enough of what we did to say, hey, look, when you do, if you do retire or if you do leave, come back and work for me. And I laughed. So I'm going to look forward to it. In all likelihood, I'll wind up back in the property and casualty insurance business and look forward to serving the public. We got a family business that started in 1895, and I've been out of it since 1996. So that represents an exciting opportunity for me as well.
Now, do you see elective office at some time in the future as something you might want to do?
That's a very strong possibility. I don't know that it would happen right away. I really don't know. I don't want to say no or never to something because you don't know what's going to come up or what's going to happen. I do know that by me declaring early that I'm not going to be running for re-election, it makes it much more difficult for Dan or Kathy Sheehan to jam in somebody that's, you know, not as qualified as necessarily needed to do the job. This will give people from the business community and a lot of other places, not-for-profit world, the political world, to take a look at this opportunity to have what I believe is the best elected position in the area. Hold on a second. There's a little excitement, construction site, but the opportunity in future to serve, we'll see what happens. I don't know. My family's been involved in public service for three generations, and you know, I'm looking forward to the fourth generation wanting to serve. Although in today's climate, with what's going on in politics today, it's difficult to get anybody to run for office, let alone somebody that you love. So we'll see what happens in the future.
Now, from the conversations that I've had with Dan McCoy, he always stresses the fact that Albany County is fiscally solvent. But on the city level, that's not really the case. Why do you think the county is doing much better than the city of Albany is doing?
That's a good question. Let me start with the first thing that kills the city of Albany. A long, long time ago, back when you and I were running around in sneakers, Rasmus Corny and Nelson Rockefeller made a deal to put the South Mall in the city of Albany and knock down 90 acres of tax-paying property. And before that, not long before that, they did with Averill Harriman and whoever was then government, they decided to put the Harriman campus in. So you have all these, mm-hmm. these acres, probably 180 prime acres in Albany that are tax exempt. The thought was because there'd be so many jobs that came out of this and so much benefit would come to the city of Albany, that Albany was not going to get the same kind of aid that other cities, every other city in New York State gets. When you look at the aid per capita that the city of Albany gets versus everybody else, it's probably between 25 cents and 30 cents on the dollar. If we get the same rate of aid that Schenectady, Troy, Utica, Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Yonkers, New Paltz, you know, and on and on. If we get the same rate as everyone else in the city of Albany, there'd be sufficient revenue to run the city of Albany. The city of Albany provides services for 97 or 98,000 residents and about 85 to 90,000 people who come into Albany every day or 5 days a week to make their income. Mm-hmm. They then jump in a car and drive as fast as they can back to Saratoga, Schenectady, Rensselaer, and Greene counties. You know, Albany gets no benefit. So the first reason Albany's in so much trouble is they don't get their fair share. The second reason Albany's in financial trouble is that federal, state, and local policy, public policy for working with the poor is a huge failure. You and I have talked about this in the past, and you've been kind enough to sit through my State of the Fisk to listen to this, but you can't have a successful city when a third of the people living there are at or below the federal poverty guideline. So Albany is in a death spiral unless we do something different, in my opinion. The third reason that the city is in a much more difficult financial straits than the county is that the city's population generates less wealth and less economic activity and therefore does not have the same resources or revenues that the county has. Now, the county has tremendous challenges financially. As I say, Albany County is very, very strong. But that financial strength that we have is an inch deep. If sales tax revenues go down, the county will be in just as bad shape as a city. So I think long term, guys like Joel Giambra from Buffalo Erie County had the right thing. Long ago, he talked about this. We need to start working together. It's difficult to get the city and the county to work because the political power bases are different. Right now, the most important economic position is executive, but the most powerful political position is mayor. So, you know, the chances and likelihood of the mayor giving up any of her political power is nil. But if we shared people and we brought retirees, you know, let people retire early, come back to work part-time, you could eliminate a huge amount of costs for both governments. And we tried to do that with the government efficiency plan that we did 3-4 years ago, and we had very difficult time getting the city to cooperate. On another occasion, I tried to work with the treasurer and the mayor when they were looking at their financial problems with the state. The state wanted them to put in an integrated financial system. We had done so here. We offered to help them. Their technical people had asked for help, but politically, I'm an anathema to them, so they didn't use the help. So you got to get people to agree to work together. Most recently, you know, we got into an exchange. The city auditor, chief city auditor, did an audit of the treasurer's office of Albany, the city of Albany. She came up with a great find that they had not bid their banking services in the past 5 years, and maybe they never bid it forever. So there's still some argument going on, but the ERC rate that Albany County enjoys is about 2.37. The ERC rate that the city of Albany gets is about 1.05. So we're roughly 2 1/3 times the size of return that they have. We've offered to them, and we're offering to every municipality, the opportunity to use our RFP that we did for banking to tag along and to use that RFP to negotiate a better deal for themselves, either by going to the county's bank or by using the county's bank's numbers back against their own existing relationship and getting a better deal from their existing bank. So it's difficult to get the things done that need to be done. And finally, the biggest problem the city faces is that they've got a never-ending demand with a diminishing rate of income to satisfy that demand. And the best way for the city to get out of the hole would be for us to do something significant to fight poverty. When people are hopeless and don't have any place to go and don't believe in anything and system is rigged against them, or they believe it is, you know, that's when violence becomes a problem. That's when education is a problem. So, you know, we really need to do more for getting something better than what we're doing. The political world as it exists today has designed a plan that creates permanent poverty. I had hoped when I got elected that I might be able to do something about that. It's extremely frustrating that nobody's interested. I shouldn't say that, that the legislature and the executive are not as interested in breaking the growth rate of poverty as they are in styrofoam cups or straws or plastic bags. So I think that those kinds of things, those challenges are very difficult for the city. And I do worry about the city's economic viability in the long term.
I'm glad you mentioned an environmental issue. I went to a press conference last week, and Mark Dunley was there. And Mark Dunley is running against Tom DiNapoli. And his main thesis is divesting from fossil fuels on a statewide level. How do you feel about divesting from fossil fuels in the county of Albany?
Well, I think it's a bad idea for several reasons. As you know, I've battled with the oil companies and Wall Street about pricing on gasoline, and we think we've had some success with the audits we've done. We need an alternative to fossil fuels. But if you think that the alternative to fossil fuels for automobiles is not going to be something like compressed natural gas or propane, you know, you're going to wait 20 years for the battery or nuclear power to come in. Battery cars have not been successful sales-wise in the country for demand. It's not that they can't make them. It's people won't buy them. People are buying, combustible fuel-driven engines in their cars and trucks. So I proposed a long time ago and actually had some help out in Bethlehem about looking at going to compressed natural gas because it would green the environment. Instead of having fossil fuel waste going out, the byproduct of burning propane and natural gas in an automobile is primarily water. But because of the politics of gas that, oh, dear, if we did that, ooh, it would look like we're supporting fracking. Oh, dear, we can't do that. So that thing blew up and fell apart. I've talked to the legislature and the executive for about 20 years now. As you know, I ran a landfill when I was Commissioner of Public Works. The only answer for us long-term solid waste is reduction of the flow. We got to change packaging, and that's blown up by Amazon the last 3 years. We need also to recycle the products. You can't have waste built up in a landfill. It just doesn't. It's too expensive. The natural product of that, the byproduct of that, is methane gas. I've dealt with that at the landfill when I was commissioner. If you really want to do something for the environment, let's pick up the stuff we're throwing out. Let's do some of those kinds of things. We could right now put out an RFP for a recycling program, countywide recycling program, that would solve long-term needs for the city of Albany and the rest of the county. As you remember, I sued the supervisor in Town of Colony when she gave away her landfill to Waste Connections. Waste Connections has already taken in three times in waste what they paid for the facility. When the facility is full and they're no longer able to make money out of it, they'll fold up that LLC and they'll go away. Well, the county could put together an RFP so that you had a recycling center in the county, run privately, bid out to do it, and you'd wind up diverting all this waste from the landfills, and you'd reduce the cost of disposing of waste, and you'd create a natural resource. And by the way, you create some real job opportunities. The greatest thing we can do for the environment is to get the waste out of the environment. And recycling has been a proven thing. They've done this. I mean, in Italy, they've got diversion of municipal solid waste up to 95% in many of the urban areas in Italy. The technology is out there. We just need to have the political will to do that. Unfortunately, Albany has been living on landfill revenues for a number of years. And what everybody's got to recognize is the region has dumped its trash in Albany since 1967 or 68. And, people in the suburbs who enjoy no landfill there or don't have a problem with it have had an advantage to put all their waste in the city of Albany. I believe that's a wasteful proposal. Long-term answer, I believe, is a resource recovery or a recycling plant. And I would hope to have it, see it privately run. I don't think government has the resources or the ability to do a good job doing that. But you can put a plan together. You can actually have a thing called flow control passed at the county level. So instead of importing 40 or 50 trucks from Brooklyn every day at the Colony landfill, you have some control of what's coming in and out of your landfill. And those are the kinds of things I would hope that the future legislators and controller looks at. And I apologize for going so long, Cynthia.
Okay, that's okay. I have another important question. Mark Dunley had said that within 50 to 60 years, the human race will be extinct because of our environmental problems. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely not. I know Mark. I've known him a long time. I have a lot of respect for his work ethic and for his passion. I think the human race is more at risk from extinction from each other than we are for what we do to the environment. Our environmental problems can be solved. I put a small investment in a Dutch project. It's a 24-year-old kid who put together, I think, one of the greatest ideas in the world. These oil containment booms that they'll put out? Well, he's shipped out from San Francisco about a month ago, and they've got a 2,000-foot boom, and they're going to harvest in the big plastic masses in the Pacific. And these are collections of garbage in the Pacific Ocean that are twice the size of Texas, twice the size of the state of Texas. So there is the technology, there is the creativity to do this, and this young person from Holland is going to prove by his proof of concept that this can be done. The apparatus and the ship will be out in the Pacific. It'll process this waste and turn that waste into a fuel. So, no, I do not agree with Mr. Dunley that the human race will be extinct in 50 to 60 years. The problem with those kinds of statements is that just write you off one of two ways. One, well, I'm not going to be here, so who cares? Somebody my age, or somebody else says, oh, come on, you're exaggerating again. Come on. So we need to really sit down and listen. I think Mark's got some great ideas on resource recovery. I highly support that. And I think those kinds of things he and I would agree on. We need to be able to disagree on issues without being disagreeable. And I think Mark has done some remarkable things and some really great work. However, I don't agree with him on that. And I think I can make a compelling case that we are at more risk from human error than we are from pollution. I'm not saying pollution isn't a problem. It is. But I think the answer to it is really recycling and also reduction. Nobody really thought much of reduction 1994, I was Commissioner of Public Works. We started a recycling program in the city of Albany that was the brainchild of a young man by the name of Kevin Bing. This recycling program was the first of its kind around here. It was tremendous. Back then, you didn't have Amazon shipping out a watch in a 25 by 25 by 25 inch box full of recycling material inside. You know, if you look at all of the internet sales that take place, all those cardboard boxes have to go someplace. All of those peanuts that are in the box, you know, the styrofoam peanuts, all of those plastic bubble wrap things, they have to go somewhere. We need to really address it, how we package things and ship them. And right now in America, people pay for convenience. They aren't really economically concerned with the environment. This planet has cleaned itself numerous times over the eons. It's not the first time we've gone through global warming, and we've also gone through freeze-ups. You know, I believe in higher power, so I think I have great faith that things will get better someday, but it's probably in the afterlife. I don't think you can really proactively do good things if you think you're going to become extinct in 50 or 60 years. But that's just my opinion.
So in the closing moments, Mike, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, how can they do so?
The two best ways to contact me are at the County Comptroller's Office. The number there is 518-447-7130. Way is at the County Comptroller's Office by email, mconnors@albanycounty.com. Connors is spelled C-O-N-N-E-R-S. So if you're sending me an email, an easier way to do it is just click on our page on the website, on the county's website, and my email address is there under the whistleblower section. So if anybody has any kind of fraud, waste, or abuse they have seen or they know of, don't hesitate to send me a notice on our whistleblower line. Cynthia, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on your show. I really appreciate what you do for Albany and the community. Take care.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
I hope so.
Have
I hope so. Take
day.
Care. God bless.
Have
bye-bye.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye.